Hey, Jabber fans. This week, we're not going to have a regular movie review episode. I just got out of a concert on our regular recording day, which is Tuesday nights. And next week, I'm actually going to be in San Diego where I can record in person with Keith. We're going to be talking about Phantom Thread, I think, and Paddington 2, I think, depending on how the next week goes. Hopefully I'll have some time during my little vacation down there to edit the episode and get it out there on the same week. If not, might be the week after, maybe earlier on than usual. But this week we recorded a questionnaire sent in by Mike Fallick from the Let's Start a Cult podcast. And I had to cut it out of the last episode. I was going to use it as sort of an intro to the last episode, but I decided to cut it out for time because we ran a little bit long. He's going to be, you know, divvying up those questions within the next few weeks of his show, but I decided to release them all as just a chunk of bonus material for the hardcore Jabber fans out there. So here it is, and if you want to email us, you can at jabberandthedrone@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at jabberpodcast. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/jabberpodcast. Enjoy the show. Bye. Okay, so we're going to get into this email that was sent to us by Mike Fallick, friend of the show. Mm-hmm. He does his show, the Let's Start a Cult podcast, and at certain points he asks these sort of questions are commonly seen as like regular, everyday, taken for granted truths. Or
I feel like I'm not getting the full Let's Start a Cult experience, though, without mm-hmm. him being immediately confrontational about our answers.
Right. Well, we'll see how it goes. He's gonna splice these into his show, but I thought it'd be fun for the top of ours as well. Sure. So definitely go and listen to the Let's Start a Cult podcast to get the full context of how these questions are kind of applied to what he's doing over there. But I wanted to, let's get some hot takes here.
All right.
So here's his survey questions that are coming up in his next few shows. Number one, mac and cheese should be only made at home and not bought from a restaurant.
No, that's insane.
I've had some really good restaurant mac and cheese. Now, I will say,
I went to a mac and cheese festival here in San Diego. I mean, San Diego is like festival city.
They just love a festival.
Yeah, it's like every other weekend is craft brew festival, craft beer festival, the beer and brew festival, the hops and happy fest. And there's like a ramen fest. There's a mac and cheese fest. But
never met a fest I didn't like.
Well, I had some issues with the mac and cheese fest, but that's neither here nor there. My point is, I like a good artisanal mac.
Yeah, no, I have no problem with it. In fact, sometimes I will order it. However, I do kind of get a feeling, sort of the same with ramen too, that if I order from a restaurant and I end up spending like, you know, $8 to $11 or $15 for fancy mac and cheese, I'm like, what the fuck did I just do? You can make this at home for 59 cents.
Couple caveats. One, you should not order mac and cheese if it only consists, if it only exists, as it were, on the children's menu.
Well, yeah.
Number two, it should be a side. It shouldn't be the full dish, mm-hmm. Unless you are just not that hungry. But it shouldn't be like a full entree.
I've had a full entree where it's like in a fancy kind of like earthenware. You know, it's steaming, piping hot, and it has, like, crumbles of something or else on it. Yeah.
Number three, why are we saying no mac and cheese? In fact, I think we should extend it to say that we should get other household late night treats on the menu. How awesome would it be if you were at a restaurant and they were like, would you like the bowl of Fruit Loops? You know what?
Artisanal Fruit Loops.
You know what? Yeah. I haven't had cereal for dinner in a long time. Yes, please. That sounds delightful.
All right. The second question he asks here. We shouldn't lie ever.
I feel like this one's a trap.
I do too. I also feel like it's like completely impossible to live life. Like, I don't know what you would do. I mean, we've all seen the movie Liar Liar. That is a cautionary tale for our age.
I guess, what are we defining as a lie? Are we defining
a white lie to vicious rumor? I don't know.
Well, are we counting omitted truths as lies? Because to me, a lie is altering the facts.
Sure.
Hashtag fake news.
Right.
It's straight up changing the meaning of a thing. Mm-hmm. To have a desired effect.
Hashtag alternative facts.
You know, yeah. I mean, I don't think you should a lot.
No, it's definitely not something you want. You don't want to be known as the guy who lies a lot. You don't want to do it so much that it's easier for you to lie than to tell the truth. But I think there are extenuating circumstances, especially if it's not people who are regularly in your life.
Yeah, like,
you know what, actually, I generally as a rule don't lie to for my own benefit or anything like that. I don't lie like to get out of something or to get into something, but I do think it's fun to lie to strangers.
I work on Wall Street if I can get into it.
Yeah, if you're never going to see that person again, or
see, if you're never going to see that person again, fuck it. Like, have fun. I don't give a shit. Yeah. I mean, I'm also, you know, an improviser and an actor, and like if we literally can never lie and take that to the extreme, then I could, you know, does that stop existing? You know, could you consider pretending to be someone else a lie? Like, how
I don't feel like there's any intent to deceive in
there absolutely is. There,
you're acting.
Your intent is to deceive people into thinking this false reality is
unless you were on a reality show like Punked or Boiling Point or something like that, then I don't think that that's a lie. Just acting.
Well, what about like, you know, character comedians or whatever. Like, look at some of the stuff Andy Kaufman used to do.
Fair enough, that's kind of more trolling than acting. Actually, Mike Fallick, here's a good question to add to your survey. Is acting lying?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, here's another one. People should enjoy / do more small talk. I could use a whole lot less of it, to be honest.
Yeah, fuck small talk. I actually feel like small...
I have learned from taking Facebook BuzzFeed quizzes that I'm an introvert, and it emotionally it emotionally exhausts me to spend a lot of time talking to people I don't know, which is kind of my job. So by the end of the day, I feel like I'm a year older.
I'm sometimes an introvert. I'm a situational introvert.
I am too.
Yeah, but what was the question?
That we should engage in more small talk. You know what I hate more than anything?
Wait, he said engage and enjoy.
And enjoy. Talk. Yeah, you know what I hate more than anything? Small talk when I'm trying to get my hair cut.
You know what? I've actually kind of gone the other way on that. I mean, not totally.
Mm-hmm.
But I go to a barber shop that is, it's a black barber shop, and so okay. it's very much like that barber shop experience that you kind of see
chatty,
and like
lots of gossip, lots of tea spilling,
and I've heard some articles or not articles, but like I've heard some stuff on the radio lately. Like they did a thing on NPR about how generally black men who go to black barbershops are more willing to confide in their barbers than their doctors.
Okay.
And like just that kind of atmosphere of, like you said, tea spilling, like
right,
being able to be totally honest and vent and stuff. And I'm like, maybe I'm missing out on, an experience of life, a male experience that could be beneficial. It is a little weird for me since I am an introvert, mm-hmm. but like the last time. I just got my haircut, actually, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to be a little more open. I'm going to be a little more forthcoming. I'm going to actively try to participate in the discussion and not be like the center of attention, which sometimes is hard for me. It was fun. Like it was a cool sort of hang. The conversation didn't really get deeper than small talk, but just sort of relaxing and letting go of that bullshit void of like what we're talking about has to be meaningful, mm-hmm. and embracing the completely temporary nature of a conversation can be freeing.
Letting your hair down, so to speak. This one I completely agree with. We should eliminate urinals.
Yeah, 100%.
They're disgusting.
I've been saying this forever. There's no need for them. Is that the only thing that makes a gender qualifying bathroom? Because fuck it. Mm-hmm. Tear them all out. Put in more stalls. Men and women can share restrooms. Does not matter.
Yeah, and while we're at it, if we're going to tear away all of the urinals and just do stalls, can we have partitions that go all the way to the ground?
Yeah. Apparently, that's a thing in Europe. Apparently, the partial partitions is very much an American thing. Which
and weird.
I don't understand.
And weird, yeah. And invasive, and I hate it. I hate it more than anything.
And it doesn't... There's no need. Like, no. Why can't the metal pieces go all the way from the... Like, they don't have to be fucking structural integral, you know, walls to, mm-hmm. They don't have to be load bearing. They can still be thin metal pieces of shit, but why have gaps?
We're not animals. We don't have to pee standing next to each other.
You know what's worse than a urinal? The trough.
Well, I won't even.
No. Well, I mean, I won't do a urinal.
I'm
a stall peer.
I'm a total stall peer, but if push comes to shove and you really have to go and there's a line, I'll do what I have to do. Have you ever been in the situation, you go to bars more than I do, have you ever been in the situation where the guy comes in and pees in the sink next to you?
What?
I've seen that happen once.
No. Oh, God. Check, please. No.
I mean, this was like a situation where I was like in this, this like backyard.
You can't wash your hands after that.
Backyard like concert party thing. I don't care. You know, it was somebody's house essentially, but there was a lot of people there. Okay.
Yeah. No.
No to all of that.
Go away, you animal.
Last one. Swings are the only good thing on a playground. Hello, slides.
That's what I thought at first, too. In my mind, I'm like, slides? I have some fond memories of the merry-go-round for Mammon Park, even mm-hmm. though that it's...
They're extremely dangerous, mostly outlawed now, and cause, like, lots of vomiting.
Yeah, I remember a particular incident with you that I can't believe I'm flashing on... right now
that you can't,
but it was
unsee.
So vivid where I just kept spinning you and spinning you and spinning you, and you were trying to tell me to stop, and then I eventually did, and you were so sick and you were just sat there for a little bit, and then he went to move, and this story is real gross, listeners. He puts his hand over his mouth and it just starts to seep between his fingers before you couldn't hold it in anymore. And then he projectile vomited. And yeah. You know what? I don't have any fucking swing stories like that.
No.
So I'm gonna say no. They're not the only good.
Yeah. No, there is a lot of stuff in as you get older, you can't really do slides anymore unless it's a particularly big slide. Cause now our whole 6 feet of body length, pretty much, even a swirl slide, you'll pretty much fit through all of it.
You know what? That's not even true. I was going to say swings are the only playground equipment that you can always do, like mm-hmm. no matter how old you get.
Right.
But like last summer, there's this like fun little playground at Waterfront Park down in San Diego. And me and Ashley and a couple friends went there. We were just like kind of hanging out, sort of, walking our buzz off. And there was a really big slide, like a wide slide that we went down. It was really fun.
Okay.
So, no. And no. Yeah, I'm going to completely disagree.